To be in the house this morning. God bless you. Go ahead, sis.
Good morning, bride. And I really love the Lord. And this is what I chose to serve Him. Not just like Wednesday or Sunday, but every day. Even, you know, even if I'm not in church, I always hear His voice, you know. This morning, I woke up this morning and I didn't know that Mike is really sick. And he told me, he says, Mommy, I'm really sick. I said, you are? And he said, yeah. So then, of course, Satan, we're going to write on that thing, like, stay home because he's sick. I said, can you handle yourself by yourself because I'm going to church? I said, no, Satan. I said, can you handle yourself that I'm gone? And then he goes, yeah, yes, I can. I said, so can I go to church? And then he goes, yeah. Yes, go ahead. I said, oh, praise God. Because I said, I do not want, you know, I do not want to just, that circumstances right there. I do not want to just stop that thing that we're not going, you know. I want to just go. Yeah. My choice. You know, I'm not out there, but this one, this is what I chose to serve God, yes. You know. And I'm so thankful that he gave me the seed that I can receive the message, every word, you know. Amen. My God, I said, it's so close that I can really feel that the rapture is in the top of my head. I am so ready to go and I'm tired. So I said, Lord, just give me strength every day, because without that strength, without God's help, there is nothing I can do about it. You know, so I said,
amen.
Praise God. So, praise God. So I just want to praise him this morning. I don't know how to play. I'm using Sister Christie's speaker. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Burden shares none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to the kingdom shore, to the shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
I have so much. I've been kind of holding it in because I'm just going through so much. Okay. So I think October 23rd, somewhere around there, I've been going here for 2 years. I think that's a big thing for me. I know a lot of you have been going here for a lot longer, but I mean, that's a big thing for me. 3 weeks ago, I got a call from my doctor saying I have a vascular disease. You said one thing you need to do, stop smoking. Yes, I was a closet smoker, you guys. I'm sorry. But that wasn't a doctor telling me. That was God telling me. You know, like, I'm like, yep, done. I didn't smoke since. And then... this week, my grandma passed away on the 27th. It bothered me because me and my grandma wasn't that close, you know. She had like 26 grandkids and great grandkids and great grandkids. It's like, oh, I can't even keep up. But her pastor was there and she was eating the same thing I'm eating. He said that she lived every day for the rapture to come the next day. And I was like, what? I was like, that's what brought me and her together, you know? But, I mean, I might have not seen her as much as I should have, but, and then he was like, would she trade anybody in this room to come back down here? He's like, nope. I'm like, you're right, but I'm sorry. I had a lot on my mind. I just can't wait for what's going to be preached today, and I love you guys.
Amen. I just want to give God praise. I don't have to talk to God. I get to talk to God. What an honor. What a privilege. You know what? I don't have to call him down for him anywhere. I used to talk to somebody. I didn't know exactly where he was. But I know exactly where he is today. Oh, how I praise him. So we're going to sing a song. Amen. And we're going to invite God. I am so glad he's here.
Amen.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
are in your presence. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. Yes, you're the living water, the never drying fountain. You're my comforter and counselor. Oh, just take complete control. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Seth.
I am so thankful for a place of worship. I am so thankful to have a place to come. And I tell you what, when the storms may blow, we have such a rest. You know, I've just been singing that song, I Serve a Mighty God. What a mighty God I serve. You know, I was thinking, I was like, you know, you go through the day, you just look at your situations, your life, you know, sometimes the mess that we make and sometimes the mess that we are. And you realize that, you know what, God is dwelling in this flesh. Right. And you know, you cast out all doubt.
Okay. Amen.
You know, when you start really putting yourself on things eternal, just to dwell on what he's done, you know, I could say that too, sister. You know, they're my grandparents. I didn't spend much time with them. I was busy with the Copeland boys. I always go up every time that we went. Right. But you know what? We have a promise that we'll see him again. We'll spend eternity, all the time, beyond time, with our loved ones. That's a promise that no matter what comes your way, you have already conquered it.
That's it.
You are literally preordained not to fail. If that doesn't get you excited, you know, I thought this fall back or whatever, this hour would, you know, make me feel a little more energized. I feel a little tired, but you know what? I don't want to get tired. I want to come in here and I want to worship God. This is my time where you get to let the armor down. You get to lay it down. You get to be yourself. You can't talk like this out in the world. You know, no matter what you go through, your loved ones may not be here, but you still believe this. This is real to you. If you base your life on this, God will have to give you what you need to make through. That you've made a priority, he will honor that.
Yes.
But if God won't be second. I've learned that firsthand. God won't be second.
Come on.
He won't be second.
Say it.
You make him first or you just don't do it.
Come on.
He makes it so easy for you. You either do it or you don't.
Go ahead and tell him.
You either take it seriously or you don't. And I don't want to be caught slacking in this day and age.
No.
This is that Sodom and Gomorrah kind of conditions. And when he says, if I could just find five, I'm like, you'll find one. Because you got to say it for yourself.
Come on.
I can't speak for you. I can't talk for you. I can't testify for you. I can't tell you where you're at, but I can tell you where I'm at.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I've seen.
Yes.
I can tell you what I've been through.
That's for me and my
but
house.
You know what? I tell you what, it's funny because you start reading those songs sound different.
Yeah.
This world is not my home.
No.
I am just passing through. So if I was just passing through, why would I make this important? Why would I make this what matters? You know, I don't care what conditions I'm in, hell or high water, if the doors are open, he says, gather yourselves that much closer. It's not because we're defeated. It's because we come here to hear. He says, how do I know unless it's been preached to me? Where's the preaching? You can't get preaching at home. You can't get fellowship at home. All the devil has in his tool kit now is just to separate you, just to throw a distraction, just to say, well, they don't need you. They don't love you. They don't want you. I tell you what, it's nothing but a lie. I need you. I want you. I need to hear from you. I need to see from you. If I don't see you, I miss you. I hope that you're okay. I miss them. But I tell you what, it doesn't stop God, though. You know, it's funny because the way God works, God will raise up a rock, i.e. another person. So God will get his work done. So I thank God that I have an ear to hear. Because that right there is the best thing. The fact that you can hear what God is saying, that he's still talking to you. You know, God talks to his own. If he doesn't love you, guess what he's not doing? He's not talking to
you're
you.
Not
if God's dealing with you and God's really on your heart, guess what? He'll be there. He's like, listen, I know I will pick you up out of that mud. I don't care what condition you're in. I don't care what the circumstances look like. That prescription said to just get to the house. Just get to the house. He didn't say, get your life together.
Come on.
Get your affairs in order. Get your bank accounts and your relationships right. He said, get to the house.
Come on, you gotta say it.
Everything else will come through.
Amen.
He's obligated to make it through.
He's obligated.
He said, the faith of a mustard seed will move those mountains. I have faith that whatever God needs, he'll make a way. If he needs me to do something, I'll do it. But it takes a willing, it's a free moral agency. You have to make a choice in this. He's not gonna sit there and Brother Morrison will be over the pulpit, you have to do this. He will never do that. You will die before that happens. You will die. You will be cold. But I tell you, you should feel an obligation to this body. You expect to come in here and hear from pastor talk every Sunday, a preacher talk every Wednesday.
Come on, come on.
But you want to sit here and just wait? Not me. No, I want to say something.
Come on.
I want to put my two cents in. Guess what? If nothing else, God's been good
to
me.
Stoke that fire.
No matter what. You know, he said he woke you up.
Yeah.
He woke you up and you're here.
Yeah.
You're walking. Yeah. You're talking. You're breathing. You have health. You have your right mind. If nothing else, you have a revelation, or so you say you do, that you can see what God's done and what God's going to do. You even see back before God into Elohim. I don't know any other group here. So I want to shake myself. And if I hope I can shake myself, I can shake everybody else. Because we get in here and we got all the circumstances on us, all the weight of the world.
Come on.
This is the place where they come in here, you can, it's like an autoclave.
Yeah.
It knocks all that bacteria off in there.
That's
so we can
right.
come in here into this pulpit.
Amen.
I came at 9:42. I was like, I am 12 minutes late.
Uh-huh.
I felt that way. It made me nervous. I'm late. The kids, I had to go to the bathroom. Should have went before we left. I'm like, it's important. Because I make it important. That's how the kids say it's
Amen.
Important. If I don't make it important, the kids don't think it's important. If I don't make it important, the husband... The wife won't think it's important.
Amen.
You know what? You got to lead by example. My examples have taught me to give.
Yeah.
And not just give when it's convenient.
Right.
Give when it hurts.
Woo.
You think dying on the cross was fun?
No.
He says by his stripes. It wasn't by his lesions or his lacerations. It was by the parts of his flesh stripped from his bodies with a cat of nine tails. That hurt. That's a man. That's a brother.
Yeah.
That's a brother who made a choice.
Yeah.
Who made a choice.
To take that.
And I want to make a choice.
Yeah.
You have an option. You
choose.
High road. I don't choose to sit there because it'd be so much easier just to make an excuse. Well, I'll just be at home. I'll make this excuse. I feel this way. I feel that way. And people say it's not in my nature. You should have a new nature. The nature of Christ should be in you. You should. And you know what's funny, though, is you will manifest what's in you. If you say you believe this and there's truly been a quickening, guess what happens? When life comes at you, you're like, oh. And sometimes it will shake you. But you know what you'll do? You'll write your sight back. That's the difference. That's the only difference. People think, well, you don't go through anything. Oh, I go through things all the time.
Yes.
I struggle all the time. All the time. I'm human. Until I lay these two other realms down, I will have problems. Difference is, though, I have an answer.
Amen.
Because I can be like, hey, Brother Moore, I have a question. And I have an answer. I know I'll have an answer. I don't have to even ask Brother Moore. I can reach out to a brother.
Yeah.
You're not going to know where God's at.
That's right.
I didn't wait I gotta wait for Pastor Moore to get an answer. I'll talk to Brother Don. I'll talk to my dad. I'll talk to my sisters. I'll talk to anybody.
That's right.
If you listen to me, I'll talk to you.
Amen.
You get close enough, I'll talk to you. It's not a complicated and convoluted thing. He just said, if you only believe. That was the requirement.
That's right.
That was the only requirement, just believe.
Amen.
It didn't ask you to even understand it. He just said, believe it, because he will reveal it to you. And we're over here trying to figure
Amen.
Things out and try to look at things and try to work things up. All he said is just come as you are.
That's it.
Come as you are. Well, I tell you what, I'm coming as I am.
Amen.
I'm like, I'm going to come in like a bull in a china closet. He tells me to sit down, I'll sit down. He tells me to get up, I'll get up. He tells me to raise my hands, because not everybody's a testifier. Not everyone's a singer. But you know what? You clap your hands like you the only hands you got. You raise your hands and you sing as loud as you can. Because we're a small congregation, but we are mighty.
Mighty.
We are. I don't even want the devil to even get in there and say, well, you don't have many numbers. I don't need numbers.
No,
he said where two or three are gathered.
That's it.
And there's me.
Yeah.
And I know there's somebody else. I know there's somebody else. I've seen it.
Count me in there.
So I just am thankful that I get to come in here one more time.
Yes.
Because you know what? The funny thing is of it all is that rapture will fix everything.
It'll fix
if you
all.
Didn't understand it here, you'll understand it there.
Yeah.
If you had it wrong here, you'll have it right there.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the Super. All you have to do is keep coming.
Yeah.
It's like your promised vacation.
Yeah.
I'm going on vacation.
I am.
I'm going on vacation. I've already got my bags packed.
I ain't coming back.
I'm just waiting for that time.
Yeah.
For that, because then I don't even need to have faith anymore once I have a body change.
Right.
Because it will happen. It'll be history.
Yeah.
And I'll keep learning and learning
Amen.
And walking and trying. I can't wrap my carnal mind around eternal things. I can't because I'm so convoluted in minutes and seconds and times. And
yeah.
I can't even think
That's
about it. But
that.
You know what? I believe it.
Yeah.
That's because that deep on the inside,
yeah.
that one that says amen to every single word, he believes it. He believes it because God won't reject himself.
That's right.
So I'm thankful for revelation. I'm thankful so much for an understanding. And I'm thankful for the trials we do go through, because
yeah.
you know what it does? It produces character.
It does.
If you didn't go through anything, you would be vanilla. You'd be bland.
Vanilla.
But everybody who has gone through something, it has shaped them into the beautiful things I see sitting and standing before me. The ones who have given
beautiful.
Their lives.
Beautiful.
The ones who get up and are dependable. So I thank you all for being consistent. I appreciate it.
Amen. Sister Mel, you'll be the last one.
Yeah. Good morning, buddy. So I had two songs that I wanted to sing this morning.
Uh-huh.
I really love the Lord.
Well.
And then What a Mighty God We Serve.
Well,
so I'm putting it out there because we've already kind of heard them. But that's how I feel. And I want to say, sister, we all started with 2 years. So when I was at 2 years, I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. So we all start somewhere. But what I'm happy about is my journey.
Right.
My journey to get here today to say that
Amen.
I believe this message. And the word just keeps getting bigger and bigger and brighter and brighter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad I don't have to struggle with being at home reading the Bible by myself, because he's watching me. And he will reveal it to me in his time.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I just felt like I sat too long, and it was time for me to shake that devil off
uh-huh.
of me and say, I believe this message, and get off me, because this is my priority to
Amen.
Be in the house when these doors are open. And I know I'm not going to remember everything in Revelation 3 after the preaching on Elohim and opening it up. I hear it. I read it. I believe it.
Amen.
And
yes.
That's what I want to stand and say that.
Amen.
Because, you know, we all battle. Like you said, brother, we all battle. But I'm not really battling with anybody but myself. You know? And I can fight pretty hard, but I'm battling with myself, and it's really not that hard. It's really not that hard. And I had an opportunity yesterday to share with someone, and it just felt so good to just tell them why I believe this message. And I never thought, I've always wanted to, you know, just kind of share it so somebody else will understand what you're missing. And it just felt so good. And they understand. I understand. I understand. I won't be there, but I understand. And that's all I want. I want to be that light out in the world. Whatever I'm doing, I want to continue to display the body in this church,
amen,
in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I haven't talked too long, can you all sing What a Mighty God?
Oh, yes.
Because it is so,
oh, yes,
good. He, yeah, is mighty. If you, yeah, think about, yeah, you know, this world, I mean, really? I mean, I can't even say anymore. It's just so big, and people are missing the mark. And I'm glad I did not.
Amen.
So,
amen.
What a mighty God we serve, and I'll start.
Yep.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God I serve. Yes, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God I serve. Is the God I serve. Jesus is the God I serve. Yes, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the God I serve. One more time. What a mighty God. What a mighty God I serve. What a mighty God I serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God I serve. By way of announcements, November 17th, we're going to have a Thanksgiving feast after service. And then we have somebody going to Little Bethlehem, Brother Jay going to Little Bethlehem on the 10th. Yeah, on the 10th of November. I believe that's next week. And then next Sunday. Wow, everything is moving so fast. I mean, we're just about out of this year. And it just seems like it just got started, you know. And then just be watching out for New Year's services. And, you know, if you guys got songs and things like that for Christmas and stuff, start practicing now. So we'll start ramping up on the Thursday music practices a little bit more. And just be paying attention to that as well. We're going to sing. We're going to sing Come and Dine. And then we'll get him up. Kia C. God bless all the testimonies. God bless this body. I love this body. I fail not to get here. I need this. This is my everything. Jesus has a table spread where all the saints of God are fed. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine.
and with his manna he doth feed, and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all of the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now to come and dine. The disciples came to land. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them to come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
To the hungry calleth them, come and dine. Soon the lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side, and all the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, it will be a glorious sight, all of God's saints in spotless white. And with Jesus we will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Yes, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. And he who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry, come and dine. Won't you come and dine? Just come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. And he who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. You are our Lord, our Savior, our healer, our Redeemer. And here you're our cook, you're our chef, you're serving us today, your word. Father, as we come here today, let us lay aside everything, all the preconceived ideals, all the thinking of our own, and let us move under your table and come and dine from your Master's table one more time. Lord, we thank you for the people that are gathered here, those who are here in the sanctuary, and those who are maybe tuned in or maybe listening at a later time. I ask you to just bless this congregation. Bless these group of people, these people who need to hear from you. Father, I get a text from a brother in Africa to ask you to just touch Brother George. He needs a touch from you. Father, we bring Brother Bobby before you, Lord. You are a healer, you're a deliverer. Oh, a stroke doesn't bother you. Problems doesn't bother you, Lord Jesus. You're the creator, you're the maker, and you can just move things, turn things around. Father, we ask you to continue to touch Brother Jamie down in Kentucky, and and the surgery that he had, the second one. And Lord, we ask you to bring healing to his body so that he can walk straight and walk right for you, Lord. Ask you to continue to bring Trevor before you, and Dawn and John and different ones in the body. Sister, Lord, Sister Keene, who's not here this morning, ask you to move and touch her body, Father. Just help her as she ages, Lord, as we all age, Lord. We ask you to just touch us and help us to be healthy and strong enough that we can serve you, for that's truly our heart's desire, is just to be fit to serve you, Lord. Ask you, Lord, to take the words that are open up here this morning. Without you, we can do nothing. But we ask you to open the book to us, Lord. Open our hearts to your word that we could receive what's come in front of us to dine on. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know. I don't like missing one service. It seems like it's so long between services anyway. Then you miss one, you really miss one. So it's good to be back. It's good to be in the house of God. And I was, you know, I was thinking this morning, I'll get to my message here in a minute, but I was just thinking this morning about inspiration. And I was thinking about how you're really inspired of God before anything else happens. I've been thinking about what we've been talking on lately, and it's been done by inspiration. And I was thinking about Brother Branham this morning, and I was thinking, you know, Brother Branham preached by inspiration. And a lot of times he would say things, and he would step out there, and then he would look to Brother Neville. He said, I know it's in the Bible somewhere. You go find it. And sometimes I feel like we get out there by inspiration and we say things. But then when we go back and look at the Bible, when we look at the message, we realize it was by inspiration, but it's in there. And that's the thing about being inspired, is it'll tie you back into the Scripture. And it'll tie you back into the message, and everything that you bring, you can bring nothing, because it's like stepping out on thin ice when you're going by inspiration. You say it because you know it's right, but then you look back and say, now I got to go back and find where it's written, because I know it's written in there. And I feel that's the way it is when we've been talking here in the last couple of weeks, and it's just been very inspiring to be able to speak like we've been talking, me, Jay, Jeremiah, the body, we've been talking a lot by inspiration, and then going back and looking into the Scriptures and looking into the quotes, come to find out that the thing that we have been inspired to speak is the same thing that was inspired by God's Word and the prophets. So I'm comfortable with that, and I thank God for inspiration. Because if it wasn't for inspiration, we wouldn't even step out on anything. You know, you got to be inspired to step out. You got to be inspired to believe. You don't just believe because somebody said it. You got to be inspired by the Holy Ghost to step out on the Word of God. And a lot of times, and the funny thing about it is, a revelation, when you get a revelation, you don't altogether know exactly how it all fits together. Knowledge comes later. It all ties together later. But there's many things that I've stepped out on by revelation, knowing that it matches the Scripture, knowing that it matches the message. And I step out on it even when I don't fully see the whole thing myself. But as you take that inspired step, God continues to reveal more information on that inspired revelation that He gives you. This whole thing is done by revelation. And I am so grateful that it is, because it's revelation that makes you believe. It's revelation that makes you understand. It's revelation that ties it all together. You won't get this by your studies. You won't get this because you just got so smart and got all the answers. This is an inspired word of God, and it's past finding out. And you will never understand this outside of being inspired by the Holy Ghost. So that's, He will take of mine and show it unto you. He's going to reveal Matter of fact, he reveals it to you. Then a lot of times we go back and look in the scripture and see that it is there. That's the inspired word of God for you. And I'm glad it works that way, because when I was back here talking a couple of weeks ago, I was stepping out on some things that I really saw. And I thought, well, Lord, you're going to have to help me here, because I'm saying some things that I don't know how people are going to take it. When you're talking about God before God, when you're talking about Elohim, when you're talking about the self-existing one and all the things that go with Elohim and all the things that go with God, and you're stepping out on some things that people don't talk about. And they don't talk about it because they don't understand it. But when you're inspired by the Holy Ghost and it ties right back into the Word of God, I've got to step out on it. I've got to stay with the Word. And so I think the last couple of weeks we've had some very inspired messages. I see more clearly so many things that I thought I saw, but I even see better today because of the inspired Word of God. And it's when we talk about God's eternal, just being who He is, it is so different than what our thinking normally would be. We would sit and we would think, okay, God's done this and that. But you know what? There's been questions in that Bible that you couldn't understand. There's been things that were written in there. You know it's the truth because it's written. See, you don't always understand what you believe. Isn't that an oxymoron? People want to understand what they believe. But and it's like what's said this morning. You believe this not because you know this, not because you can spit it back and quote everything. You believe it because it's the inspired Word of God to you.
Amen.
That's called the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That's called take a mind and show it unto you.
Yeah.
That's called the revelation. And that's inspired. That's not educated. That's inspired. I can't even educate you enough to get this thing. You say, well, I believe it's right, but I want to know it's right. Well, you know it because you believe it. And when you agree with the Word of God and you step out on the Word of God, that's called faith.
Yeah.
And faith is what God is looking for. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Oh, yeah.
You can't please God. Oh, God can be turned on by you.
Amen.
You say, well, God doesn't have feelings. Maybe He doesn't, but maybe He does. God loves.
Amen.
And God hates.
Yeah.
So something about God. See, there's things about God that I understand now that I didn't understand before. Before I'd wonder, how can God love? if he loves and He hates, then that almost makes you feel like He's got emotions. And God is not a God of emotions. So don't get twisted up there. It's an agape love. It's a godly love. It's a love that comes from Elohim. See, now I can talk about Elohim and you understand what I'm saying. It's a love that was created called God. Because God is love.
Amen.
So God loves. God hates. God changed His mind about some things. God did some things that we never could understand. How can God do that? But He can do it as God. He can do it as that role of God. He could do that. As Elohim, He couldn't. As Elohim, He was a self-existing one. As Elohim, He was the all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent. He knew the past, the present, and the future. He was unchangeable. You couldn't move Him, but you can move God. God is moved by our infirmities. He's touched by our weaknesses. Oh, my. So God is a little different than what I thought He was. And I know it's fun in our heads and people in South Carolina, too, because I had a minister call me and ask me some questions, which I wasn't mad about. I was glad he did, because he said, I've got to talk to my congregation, and I want to understand what you said. You said God can change His mind. I said, yes. He's done it. But God can't change His mind. Right. But you see, you're not going to figure this out. God can change His mind, but He can't.
Amen.
God could change his mind as God, but he couldn't change his mind as Elohim. And we're still not a Trinitarian. Okay, come on. Let me back this to where we got to get started. Oh, we're halfway done. This is exciting to me.
It is.
So now I look at the Bible, I feel like I never read it before. I mean, I know I have, but it's like now when terms are used, I understand what they mean. When God says something, I know if he's looking at it as God or if he's looking at it as Elohim. So when I read the Bible now, it's like a new book. It's like I never read it. And I've read it many times. So today I want to go over to Romans 9. I like Romans 9. But now when I read it, I understand it. It's not just, I believe it. Oh, I believed Romans 9 the whole time, but I didn't understand it. See, don't wait till you understand every scripture to believe it. If it's the inspired word of God, believe it. Romans chapter 9, if you'll stand with me, please. We'll just read this real quick. We want to start up here. And I cut it all down because I could read the whole chapter. But to save time, I'll just start with verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Y'all understand that now? I say this is going to read a little different today. The purpose of God might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. I'm telling you, it reads a little different today. Where's the calling coming from? It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. How'd he know? It was in his mind. He purposed in his mind and by his foreknowledge knew. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God loved and God hated. But I thought God didn't have emotions. He doesn't. He doesn't have emotions. But he loves and he hates. For what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. I don't care what you do. But of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Now remember, Pharaoh wasn't of God, but yet he was. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. God raised up Pharaoh. That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. God hardens. God can send a strong delusion. God can send a strong delusion and harden your heart. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? Why do I even worry about doing anything. For whom has resisted his will? God has a will. And you can't resist his will. Nay, but old man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou formed me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? For the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Man, I want to sit down, but I want to keep reading. I've already read past where I was going to stop, because this is just good reading. What if God willing to show his wrath? God has wrath. In order to get wrath, you got to be mad. You got to get angry. And to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. We needed to be destroyed, but God put up with us. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. May the Lord have his blessing to read his word. Sit down. I'm going to stop reading. Romans 9 is full. And I read and I kept reading and I found out I wanted to read more. And I could go on down to the rest of the chapter. It wasn't more but about another 8 or so verses, but to save time, I already know I'm not going to get all this done. But I'd like to title a message this morning, God's Eternal Plan. And I want to start here in Romans 9 because it plainly shows us that God has a plan for all of us. And you will fulfill what God saw you do. What makes God so great is that he already knows what you're going to do. You think you're deciding something. You are. But God already knows that you're going to decide. He knows if you're going to serve him or not. He knows whether you're going to believe him or not. And he said, well, I might as well just give up. Well, no, don't give up. Prove to him. Remember, we found out the other week that you can prove things to God. Abraham was going to slay his son. And God said, oh, hold your hand, Abraham. Now I know. Up until this time, I suspected, and I, from the plan and from the mind, I already knew. But now seeing the very manifestation shows me what I was looking at in my mind. So don't stop serving God now because you're weak. Don't stop serving God now because you think, well, there's no use. If God got it all, then I might as well give up. And if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. And if I'm not, I'm not. No, if you're a believer, you're going to step out on the word of God and you're going to believe the word of God and stand when you don't even know how he's going to do it. Amen. Oh, I go into many situations and don't know how God's going to fix it. But I know his word said he will. I know his word said with every temptation, he'll make a way out. That's his word. But you know what? Even with the temptation, you don't have to take the way out. Your choice. I love the fact that God figured this thing in such a way that he put free moral agents in there so that we couldn't say that he was overbearing. It's your choice. To serve God or not is your choice. It really is your choice. But see, God knows what you're going to do. Don't hold it against God because you decide to give up. No, God sees what you're going to do before you do it. That's what makes him God. Omnipresent, omniscience. He knows all. He knows the end from the beginning. You're not going to pull nothing on him. And he's made you. He made everything. Life comes from God. The good and the bad. Do you know God made the devil, even though the devil sold him out? And he knew he was going to do it. But God did it anyway because there was a greater plan than that in his mind of God. See, the thing is, there is a purpose coming from Elohim that will be fulfilled. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. The fall in the garden was no accident. That was God putting into action what Elohim already knew was going to happen. Because when the fall in the garden happened, God was acting like he didn't know what was going on. That's the role of God. I mean, that's God's role. You say, well, what? God knows everything. All right, he does, but he doesn't. He does, but he acts like he don't. He knows what's going on in the garden. He acts like he was surprised by the fall. Adam, where are you? Are you serious? But don't laugh about it, because that was the role of God. God had to act like he didn't know what was happening. He come down to ask him, what's going on here, Adam? And Adam's like, well, I heard your voice and I was afraid. He said, God started asking questions. Act like he, but that's the role of God. That wasn't the role of Elohim. Elohim would have come down just slayed everything. That was Elohim. But because Elohim had a plan and he put it to action, see, God's actions was Elohim's plan. Amen. He said, well, aren't you talking about another God? Still one God. Different office. I play the role of a pastor. I play the role of a husband. I play the role of a father. How many of me do you see? Just one me. And all these roles come out of my mind. That's the way it is in a puny. Thank God he broke it down so that we dummies can understand it. He dumbed himself down so much that you and I can sit here and understand the mind of Elohim. What is God? God is a great eternal, Brother Branham said in Marriage and Divorce. That's funny because I was on a trip this week and on my phone, on an airplane, you can't, you know, there's no nothing. So on my phone, Marriage and Divorce came up. I thought, okay, I'll listen to that. And would I not listen to that and get this message in the middle of that message? I thought, God, you're so funny. Brother Branham was talking about Elohim in Marriage and Divorce. So this quote's out of there. What is God? God is a great eternal. Now, like I said a couple weeks ago, I was sweating it. Because I stand out there like, y'all, I'm on ice here. I don't know. You know, this is deep. That's by inspiration. Now I'm a prophet come back and verified the inspiration that I had weeks ago. Amen. God is a great eternal. At the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Amen. It's all through this message. Yes. This is Marriage and Divorce, and he's talking about God. He wasn't even God. Do you know that? God is an object of worship, and there wasn't nothing to worship him. He lived alone. And in him was attributes. What is an attribute? A thought. Notice, he was his attributes that was in him. So in Elohim, all the attributes that God and us would ever be was in him. In thought form. That's why I can ask Job, where were you? Now we can understand why God can ask that. Job, where were you? Before the foundations were laid, back before there were anything, where were you, Job, when the sons of God shout of a joy? Job's like, that must have been me then, because I'm a son of God. Where were you, Job? We celebrated and shouted for joy in the mind of Elohim before God was even God. It was always part of his eternal plan. Now, let me read. He was his attributes that was in him. Now, it was in him to be Father. It was in him to be God. He put Father even before God. These are all attributes of Elohim, self-existing one. It was in him to be God. It was in him to be Son. It was in him to be Savior. It was in him to be Healer. All these things here are just displaying Elohim's attributes. Amen. There is nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly he did. There's nothing out of order. It's just displaying his attributes. We are playing a role that God had played in his mind from before the foundation of the world. It was ordained for us to be here today. He already saw it. He already knew you're going to be here. He already knew you were going to hear this message. He already knew you were part of his play. He was going to actually be in you, fulfilling what he already saw from the foundation of the world. You are no less than Elohim himself.
Amen.
You're just another attribute of him.
Yes.
And just like Elohim knew everything, God knew what he knew, Jesus knew what he knew, and we know what we know.
Amen.
And we don't even learn what we learn until the Holy Ghost comes and show it unto us. And Jesus couldn't do anything except the Father first showed him. And God was standing there saying, Adam, where are you? Each role had its own limitations. And each role had its own abilities. A purpose in that role. All for his purpose. He stepped in each of his role, and you are part of his role.
Yes.
Don't down yourself. Don't act like there's no God. The reason you're here today is the fact that God exists because you exist.
Yes.
You are the very proof that God exists.
Yes.
Go over to Genesis 3 with me. Let's just go look at God a little bit. And it doesn't make God any less than who he is. But in the role, those roles are sometimes limited. They're limited to the abilities of that role. And that's Elohim's own doing. He put laws into place that locked him into his own word. If I tell you I'm going to be at your house at 3 o'clock, I'm locked into my own word. By my word, I should be at your house ringing your doorbell at 3 o'clock. But we're not that way. We're not like God. Brother Brown said, I'm a man. I can change my mind. See, that's a limitation that God put on himself that he didn't even put on us. We're called liars. We'll tell you we're going to be there at 3, and if we show up at 5, we're lucky. We say we're having a cookout at 3 o'clock and dinner still being cooked at 5. Huh, Jay? But that's man's limitations. But when God says anything as Elohim, it will come to pass. That's thus saith the Lord. But God, on the other hand, as the role of God, sometimes he acted like he didn't know. Genesis chapter 3. And they heard a voice, verse 8. They heard a voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Why would God act like he don't know where Adam is when he's the one that's keeping his heart beating? That was a role that God was playing. The God of, I don't know everything. He was playing that role trying to show Adam that, you know, I'm a God and I gave you some parameters and you didn't keep them. So he said, I heard that voice in the garden, was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told you that thou were naked? You know God knew. But he acted like he didn't. Who told you? Do you know God saw it? But he acted like he didn't know what was going on. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hath thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Act like you didn't know. See, God plays roles, and he looks for the manifestation to prove what he thinks. So he's looking at Adam and saying, Adam, did you do something I told you not to do? Even though he knew. And the man said, the woman thou gave it to be with me. She gave me of the tree and I didn't eat. There it was. He blamed the woman. That was another problem Adam had. He passed the buck. He blamed the woman. He acted like he was going to hide from God. He sewed himself some aprons out of fig leaves to hide himself, like God's not going to notice. He'd been down in the garden with Adam for a billion years. And he never had a fig leaf on. And how odd did that look? But God acted like he didn't know. See, that's the role of God. He acts like he don't know what you're going to do. But he already knows what you're going to do. But he can't make you do it, or it would take away your free moral agency. And if he forced you to serve him and made you come to church and made you believe him and made you would be no different than a robot. Amen. And God don't want robots. Amen. He don't want AI. He wants you to decide for yourself. He wants you to look at his word and say it's the truth. He wants you to step out by faith. Amen. And believe his word because he said so, not because he proved anything. He didn't prove anything to Adam by saying, don't touch that tree. He just told him, don't do it. Now, if Adam had believed him and Eve had believed him, and he would have never had to prove to them that that's what would happen. But because of free moral agency, you think you're sitting here trying to decide whether you're going to serve God or not. God already knows what you're going to do. But see, that's where the fire comes in for you. You're going to have to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and serve God because he is. Yeah. And because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. You're going to have to run after God. Yeah. And God's going to sit back and act like he ain't watching nothing. But he already knows what you're going to do. But see, your free moral agent, see, when you have that, that gives you the ability. That's a wiggle room for you. You got wiggle room just like God had wiggle room. And you can decide to serve God or not. That's it is really your choice. People think God's predestinated seed is going to make them serve God. Your predestinated seed is not going to make you serve God. You're going to serve God because you love God. You love God's word. You heard God's word. You believe God's word. You decided. You decided to serve God. Amen. That's called free moral age. That's why you're sitting here battling. That's why you're trying to figure out if it's right or not. That's why you're trying to figure out if you want to do it or not. Because it's your decision. Yes. And God's going to sit back and let you make up your mind. Even though he already knows what you're going to do. See, we don't serve God because we're made to. We serve God because we want to. I've read the Bible. I've seen the scripture. I see all the promises God made. I see how he fulfilled his word down through the ages. I recognize that the word of God is true. And so I choose to serve him. And God is here with us. And he's watching you. And he's waiting to see what you're going to manifest. Now, he knows all things because he is Elohim. He knows the past from the future. He knows, but he can't even act on it himself until after you act on it. That's really free moral. That's really, you have to act on what you think you need to do. And what you do is not going to determine whether you're a seed of God or not. What you're going to do is prove if you're a seed of God or not. He said, I ain't going to go to church no more. Well, all you're proving is that you're not a seed of God. He said, well, I don't know. God made me go and do it all this, and now I don't want to do it. No. God doesn't make nothing. He'll sit back and watch what you, that's your free moral agency. Your free moral agency states that you have the ability to do whatever you want. God himself ain't going to stop you. So what makes him different than us is that he already knows what you're going to do. He knows when you're struggling. And he'll sit back and watch you struggle. Isn't that awful? What an awful God. He'll sit back and watch you struggle and battle because he's not going to make you love him. He's not going to make you believe him. He's not going to make you serve him. He's going to watch what you do with the word. Amen. But because he's God, he already knows what you're going to do. Only one who don't know is you. You really are making up your mind. You really are deciding to serve God or not. That's all on you. Don't blame the devil and don't blame God, because neither one of them are touching it. They both sit back there looking like, what you gonna do? God's like, well, let's see. But God raises up people to do things. Pharaoh. But God didn't make Pharaoh do what he did. And the devil didn't make Pharaoh do what he did. The devil influenced him. The devil whispered in his left ear. And God whispered in his right ear. And he hardened his heart so he can decide to cut the right ear off. And he listened to the devil. But God was going to use that whole Pharaoh, Egyptian, Israeli thing to prove his purpose. To make him look, make himself look stronger. How does a bully get to be a bully? He finds the weakest person. And he beats up on the weakest person. And it makes him look stronger. That's the way God does it. God sits back and watches and wait. See, you were here, right here this morning with this message. God ain't making you believe it. He's bringing it to you, and you got to make a decision. You got to decide, oh, well, that's a bunch of baloney. I don't believe a word he's saying. Or, my God, that I never seen it tie like that before in my life. I believe that. This is what's going on right now. So when you come into the church, God comes in with you, and he's watching you, and see how you're going to walk out. It's your decision. Many people decide to walk out and never walk back. That's their decision. God's not going to make you serve him. He didn't make Adam and Eve serve him. He doesn't make anything. But you know what? Because God has a greater plan, he makes everything work for your good. And even in the beginning, do you realize God did not have to make Eve with the ability to get pregnant? Do you realize that? He made her. He could have made her sterile. He could have done many other things. But God set the whole plan in motion by creating Eve and making her in such a way that she could go around the word. Knowing that she's going to do it, made her for it. Gave her choice, do it or don't do it, but knew she could do it because she had to be, Eve had the ability to disbelieve God because she was not in the original creation. That's why God made her. But God made her for the fall. When we realize how really intricate God is in his plan. Now, before the foundation of the world, Elohim had all this in mind. Then when he started creating as God, that mind went with him. That's why God knew everything.
because he had the ability. But in the role of God, God had a beginning of existence. Elohim didn't. So Melchizedek was God, but Melchizedek was Elohim. No beginning, no ending, no mother, no father. That was Melchizedek. That was Elohim himself. That's what Abraham called him. Now, he could not just make a man fall. He had to put him on equal basis of free moral agency to make him to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. Now, he couldn't be a savior unless there was something lost. He couldn't be a healer unless there was something sick. Amen. These things had to be that way. God made them thus so that his great attribute could be displayed. If there wasn't that, he'd have never been a savior. But we know he was. Even before there was a time, he was a savior. He was a savior, so there had to be something lost. How's it going to be? If he takes and loses it just in order to save it, then that is injustice to his judgment. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. God don't send men to hell. Men send themselves to hell. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. He is kind, gentle, true, honest, and he is a great judge, see? He would never be working against himself. So he had to put man out here and make him on free moral agency so that he would, knowing would fall, and the man in his own image, how could he fall? He couldn't do that in Adam. How could he fall? Now you see daylight? He's like, you're starting to see this? Why Eve was even made the way she came? He had to make a byproduct. Something out of the original, knowing it would fall. Do you realize everything came out of the original? Elohim was the original. God came out of Elohim. The pillar of fire came out of Elohim. Jesus came out of Elohim. The Holy Ghost came out of Elohim. You came out of Elohim. You say, how do you know I came out of him? You came out of Elohim if you have eternal life. Because that's the only form of eternal life. There's only one form, and that's Elohim's own life. Amen. Knowing it would fall. And it put and it's put over in the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. Where is honor bestowed today? You think on that. Notice close. He said, honor is bestowed on a woman today. And she was the very one that was created in order to be used by Satan to cause the fall. But God created all of this. He created her knowing she would fall. Then again, why was she designed this way and not the other females? Why was the woman designed so and not the other females? None of the other females was designed that way, that they could fall. There's no other female in the world that was created by God that could fall. No horse, no dog, no animal, no fish. Only one woman could actually skirt around the Word of God and disbelieve. Only one. But that was part of the plan. That's not today. They can't. Now, not being made that way, she can't do it. Why did he not make the female then a woman just like the other animals so that she would just be the same way, could just raise her babies? Then she would have her husband and live. And when it comes time for her baby, she would have a baby. Why? Why did he make her like this? He made the female woman, Adam's wife, his helpmate, he made her in such a way that she could disbelieve God's word. Remember, Adam didn't disbelieve. The horses didn't disbelieve. No other animal disbelieved God's word. Amen. Only that one woman. He purposely created her, put her in the garden
with that little tweak time clock in her, that at some point she was going to disbelieve God's word. He made her for that purpose. So don't think the fall wouldn't have happened. The fall was going to happen because it happened in the mind of God. So it was going to happen, but God can't make man do these things. He creates you in such a way that you have the ability, but not necessarily use those things. Eve, if she had never stepped away from the Word of God, she could still be living eternally today. Adam and Eve's garden could still be here today. And you and I would be there with our great, 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 dad and grandma. Because we were coming. We were coming. But the fall caused God to act like things that he wouldn't act like at Elohim. He made him act like he didn't know. What have you done? Eve, now I'm going to multiply your conception. She got pregnant. Because God is true to his word. An egg and a seed get together, it's going to produce. That's his law. See, God's tied by his law. Elohim wasn't. Elohim was the law. Elohim was everything. It just is. It just is. It just is. But God, he tied himself by his own word. Because remember, Elohim didn't speak. God did. Elohim didn't, he didn't create. God did. Elohim really didn't have a voice. God did. Elohim had a thought. God had a voice. And God's voice was the spoken word. And by having the spoken word, it caused things that didn't exist to come into existence. Amen. Let there be, let there be, let there be. Yeah. That wasn't Elohim's voice, that was the voice of God. God said, let there be.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Very specific.
Okay. I mean, now we're getting down to reading the Bible and understanding who's doing what. And I'm loving it because now I feel like I'm starting all over again. And today I'm not going to nowhere near this stuff. But just to talk on this, it's opening my eyes. And to know the difference between God and Elohim, it helps me to understand why Jesus, I was thinking about this morning. I said, Jesus said, here's how we should pray.
Okay.
Jesus teaching us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It comes right out of the mind of God. Jesus was trying to teach us how to pray. Now I was sitting here this morning thinking that's why we pray for the sick. Because we're not sure how it's going to come out. And we use faith to pray. But God, knowing the end from the beginning, he knows how the end of that prayer is going to be. But he wants us to pray anyway. He says, I know what you want even before you ask. Why? He declared the end from the beginning, but he wants to hear us pray.
Amen.
Jesus prayed to God. He said, what?
Amen.
Same one we prayed to, same one he prayed to. It was Elohim sitting there watching as God, us, and deciding whether he's going to give us a yes or no on those prayers. But he already knows the answer. But he wants to hear us ask for it. Because that's his role. He's a mediator. He wants you to use your faith. He wants you to ask in faith.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know what the answer is going to be. That's just like God. God wanted to know also what the answer is going to be. But he wants to see the answer in manifestation. We want to see the answer in manifestation.
Amen.
We ask in faith, believing, praying, Lord, this is what I want. And we stay right there, just like God stayed right there and watched to see how it's going to come out. And when it manifests itself right before your eyes, then you can say like God said, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
That's why we pray like we do. He wants us to pray. We're praying to God. I'm telling you, it's making things make a whole lot more sense. Ephesians chapter 3, unto me, who am the least, verse 8, least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. It was hid in God, in his mind. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he wanted to manifest, but it was hid in him, and he didn't let nobody know what it was. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus came from Mary. Same God. Jesus was God. God was Elohim. Elohim was the self-existent one. It's all starting to make sense to me. Brother Brown said, God's great mystery now being unfolded. That's been hid since the foundation of the world. But prefigured it all the way down through. Now watch. We find that he did that. And here in Ephesians and many other places, but we will give you enough. Now, down through the ages, he had been slowly unfolding his mystery. What he had in his mind from before the world began, he's been unfolding it the whole way through, all the way down to this very service today. It was him unfolding himself and giving you a glimpse of himself. And now we're sitting here listening to his word like, wow, we can actually go right through all the way back to the mind of Elohim. We can know this mystery now. We can see the opening of the seals revealed everything to us. Until the seals was open, it was being let out, but nobody knew what this mystery was until the end time and the opening of the seals. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you. What mind? The mechanic's mind that knows how to work on vehicles? The medical mind that knows how to dispense medicines? No. The construction mind that knows how to remodel houses? No. The engineer's mind that knows how to tinker around and tear things apart? No. That's not the mind he's talking about. The mind that he's talking about is the same mind that was in Jesus. The same mind that was in God. The same mind that was in Elohim. It goes on. That's only one mind. And that's the only mind that means anything. The only mind that's going to get any good out of life is the mind that was in Elohim. We are here to fulfill his will. And it comes from his mind. And just as much as God had to speak, so do you. You have to become the manifestation of the mind of God. Your very life. Your very love, the things you want to do, the way you deal your whole life. See, that's why I don't have to follow you home. Your life becomes this word, and this word is a thought expressed that comes from the mind of God.
Yeah.
And it will change your life into whatever God already saw you do.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you.
Yeah. Amen, Lord.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, so do we, and was made in the likeness of men. This is Jesus here. And being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things that are in heaven and things that are in earth and things that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Now we're understanding how this works. Jesus came and he worked and he came. He told him, he said, I come to do thy will, O God. It wasn't even Jesus' will. He was a manifestation of that eternal plan of God that God had in his mind from before the foundation of the world. And Jesus knew that was what his job was, just like we should know our job is to get the dead up. He said, well, how am I going to? I don't know. Son does nothing until the Father first shows him. But just as much as Jesus' job was going to Calvary, our job is to get the dead up and unite with them and go to the marriage supper. That is the spoken word of God right out of the mind of Elohim. And it is just as real as you sit on these benches today. God's going to do it. He's going to manifest it, and he's going to do it through you. He said he's going to do it. Amen. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to fear it. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to try to make it happen. You don't even make it happen. You can't make the body change happen if your life depended on it. But all you can do as a son of God is stand there and say, Father, here I am. A son does nothing until his father first show him. Oh, I want the rapture as bad as you do, but I can't go till he says it. I can't go until he shows me. It's got to come out of his mind right into my body. And when it comes into my body, it would become a physical manifestation of what was in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world. That's his eternal plan. That's what he always wanted. That fall was no accident. It was the plan of God. He had attributes in him he wanted to be. If I'd have never gotten married, I'd never been a father and a husband. But I had to physically have the attributes manifest in my life to call me those titles. And when they express themselves, I don't even have to tell you I'm a father. Look at my kids, they look like me. I don't have to tell you I'm a husband. Look at my wife, she's right there by my side. I don't have to tell you I'm a pastor. Look at the congregation. I'm not one of those pastors that say I'm a pastor in waiting. If you're a pastor in waiting, you're not a pastor. That's like me walking around with a shepherd's stick, a crook, and think, I got sheep, and I don't have no sheep, but just walking around with a stick. I'm just a man with a stick. The manifestation proves who you are. You can say you love God all you want, but if I don't see that out of your life, you don't love God. Talk about him all you want. Wish about it all you want. There's a lot of people that want to serve God, but don't know how. As soon as you put the word out from, oh, I don't believe that. Oh, I've never been taught that way. Oh, I don't know if I go along with that or not. Well, that's very proof that you don't believe it. You can tell me you believe it all you want. But if I don't see the manifestation, it's not real. In the mind of God, he has the whole plan played out. But God himself is sitting back waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Ah, Lord. He waits for his own manifestation. Ephesians 1, Jeremiah read it, but it goes in here, so I want to read it again. I won't read as much as he did. He had y'all standing. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. How in the world? You have to be an all-knowing God to be able to do that. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. Not Jesus' will. Not even your will. You say, I want to serve God, but I don't know. Well, you don't. The best you can do is keep pushing. Keep pushing. 1 year turns to 2 years, says. 2 years turns to 10. 10 turns to 20. 20 turns to 40. 40 turns to 50. But the whole time, you're pushing, you're pressing, you're looking, you're hoping and praying. You're saying, Lord, is this the day? Is this the day? Oh, I know it's going to happen, Lord, because I'm a believer. I'm not doubting that you're going to do it. I just want it to happen now. But, Lord, I can't do it till you do it. I'm so glad that God put the body change in his hand. If it was up to me, I'd have gone in 1980. Half of y'all wouldn't even have made it. It was up to Brother Childers, it would have happened in 73. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have made it. It's left up to Brother Branham to happen in 63, and none of us would have made it. So I'm glad God didn't put it in man's hand. We can only by faith believe God and stand like God had to do and wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. And as the manifestation happens, then the body change will happen, because that's ordained to be manifested as much as Jesus dying on the cross. So it's going to happen. But we don't know when. We don't know where. But God knows. This is a dangerous one. It's 11. That clock's wrong. 11:40. Okay. 11:40. Because I'm going to Romans chapter 8. And I'm like, this is a dangerous place for me to try to land. And I'm gonna read verse 28, because it just makes 29. But now we're really starting to understand God. Now we're still trying to now we're understanding how Elohim passed himself down to you and me. We're understanding all these things, and now when we read the scripture, it sounds a little different. And we know. Understand. That all things work together for good to them that love God. Only them. It doesn't work good for you if you don't love God. I don't care how much you say you do. If you really don't love God, it ain't about you. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, his eternal purpose, all the way back from the mind of Elohim. They're the only ones that it's working the good for. Everybody else is just fodder. They're just here. They're helps. They're this. They're not. Foolish version. They're helping us out. They're doing that. They have their own eternal calling on them, but they're here to help us. But really, God is about his plan. That's all. He's about his plan. He ain't worried about you. He ain't worried about trying to make you a husband, a wife, a kid, or he ain't trying to get you a good career. He ain't trying to get you a good retirement. He ain't worried about none of that. It's all about his purpose. It's all about what his word says. And yes, everything that was in the mind of God was spoken by God.
Amen.
Did you hear how I said that? Yeah. I told you the other day, you can use God for Elohim, because he is Elohim. Right. But everything that was spoken by God came out of his mind. Uh-huh. Now we understand it. Amen. For those who he did foreknew. If he foreknew you, he did also predestinate. And we know how that works now. You had to, number one, be in the mind of God. And number two, because of free moral agency, God locked himself into a law that said, I cannot give this self, my own eternal life, to everybody, but I can only give it to those who love me. Because those who love me are actually just as eternal as I am. But in order for me to predestinate them, I have to foreknow what they're going to do when the word crosses their path, because of my law of or free moral agency. If God didn't need the law of free moral agency, he wouldn't have needed foreknowledge. But God locked himself into his own law and said, I will not give this to everybody, but I only want to give my life to those that are going to be a part of me. But God had to cheat. Because he didn't want to give just predestinated seed to everybody who was born. He wanted to know, because of his law, he wanted to know what you're going to do with his word. And if you go all the way with his word, he didn't do it to the end, the same. See, that's why you can't quit. That's why you can't stop. He said, well, I'm predestinated, but I ain't going to church no more. Then you didn't endure to the end. Then you're not going to be saved. And God knows that, so you have no predestinated seed in you. That's how it works. It goes from his mind, through his free moral agent, down through time to you, and the end of you, to see what you look back and did to his word. Then God sends his predestinated seed to your day of birth and put it in you. Isn't that crazy? You don't become a son of God. It's because you are sons. Because you have a seed. Because you're predestinated. Because I already see the end from the beginning. And I know you chose me. That's God's choosing. You chose him, and he chose you. And if you don't love him, and you don't go all the way, he already knows it. That's why all these young people getting out of here, running the streets and leaving God and saying, well, I believe this message. I believe this message. You don't believe this message. Your very manifestation shows you don't. So my advice to you young people, stay in the house of God. I don't care what pull the world has on you, stay in the house of God. Endure to the end. Push this thing. Stay the course. Young, old, black, white, tall, short. Filipino. Stay the course. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Because you know what? That's all he can do. He just tries to convince you that you're not. But what's going to hold you isn't your feelings and your emotions and your strong will. It's going to be the Word of God. You're going to believe. You're going to have to believe the Word of God. I'm sorry, but you will never get to the place where you're going to understand and know so much that you're going to have it. You are going to have to do this by faith. That's what the whole church is built on. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Heavenly Father. He gave you the mind. He gives you the understanding. So you need to push this thing, and I see some of you slacking. I see you hitting and missing. I see you come, and then you disappear. And then you come, and then you disappear. That's the devil working on you. He's trying to convince your free moral agency that it's not important. And he's not going to stop. Matter of fact, the more you skip, the stronger he gets. Amen. And then next thing you know, you're wondering if God's real. Next thing you want to know is if you really have a seed. Next thing you know is if this is really the truth. How do I know this is truth? I know this is the truth by faith. Amen. That's how it works. So don't hit and miss. Hit. Just hit. Hit, hit, hit. Press the mark. Press towards the high calling. Press to what God saw in you from before the foundation of the world. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Don't worry about who's falling in the ditches. You stay the course and you will endure to the end. God knows who's who. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how many drops by the wayside. I remember one time a sister was here and Brother Dwayne, we had a split, and Dwayne said, well, as long as, he didn't know I just met with her that day or the day before, but as long as we got this sister, whew, we're still safe. And I'm thinking to myself, you're going to see Sunday because I already know she's gone. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who falls by the wayside. You know what? Who knows that there might only be 10 people in this church when the body change happens. No, I'm just saying, you don't know. And if you're looking to the people dropping off here and there, you say, well, it must not be true. No, it must not be. Do you know Jesus out of all his preaching only ended up with 120? Total. The church consisted of 120 people in the world. He fed 5,000. He fed another 4,000. He did this. He did that. And all of his getting, all of his work, he only ended up with 120 people. So don't look around and say, oh, well, we need to get more. We need to. No, 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 no. You just stay the mark. You believe God. You press the mark. And don't let the devil talk you out of this, because it is your decision. It's your individual decision of what you're going to do. If you want to serve God, you can serve God. If you don't want to serve God, like I always tell people, I don't have nothing else for you. I just have the Word of God. And if you don't want the Word of God, I don't have nothing else to give. I have no backup plan. Buddha is not the answer. I have no backup shot for you. And you say, well, I don't know. Well, you better know. And when I say you need to know is to understand. Understand that God keeps his word. Understand that this is the word of God. Understand that God's watching you to see what you're going to decide to do with his word. That's the way it works. It's not the way that we teach it in church. We have all kind of ways that we think that we're going to get people to the altar and try to get them here and get them saved. You know, you can't be saved unless you come from God. Okay. God knew the end from the beginning. Therefore, he could plan everything that it would work out just to his glory. And that gives us courage to know that no matter what comes or goes, God is making everything. The clock is ticking just exactly on time. Sometimes we get weary, upset. We get hasty. We think, oh, we must do this or do that. We want to get busy doing something. But remember, God's clock will be just exactly on time. All these things are to be this way. It has to all be done according to his great knowledge, his foreknowledge. For by foreknowledge, he could predestinate. Not by his desire. It wasn't even by God's desire. It's God's desire that no man would be lost, that all men would be saved. That's God's desire. But by his foreknowledge, not by his desire, he is not willing that any should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would accept it and who would not. Therefore, he can foretell the end from the beginning. And therefore, he knew that we would live in this day. He knew that we would be, that this would be our day. He had plans for this day. He had plans for every day. And never has one of his plans ever failed. He is always on time. We have been called from the mind of God to come all the way down here to bring the body change on. You think it's been a long time, but it hasn't been. In God's eyes, this is only seventh day, sixth day, something. Not long. Not even a full week. Hasn't been long. But we think, oh, Lord, how long? How long? We whine, we cry. I need a body change. I got problems. God saw your problems. He just wants you to have faith in the Word of God, not have faith in you. He don't want you to have faith in you. You want to have faith in you. You want to be the big shot who has the revelation and knows everything and God's here. And no, you're going to be weak. You're going to be battling your mind. Brother Brown said, this is the greatest battle ever fought. You're going, one day you fill up, one day you fill down, one day you're healthy, one day... Your Christian walk is just like your health.
Someday good, someday not so good. Someday you feel like, oh, God, this is the greatest thing. I am so glad I'm a son. And someday you're under rocks and, God, please don't find me. That's the Christian walk. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. You have to believe this thing by faith. That's the only way that you can please God. Not by what you know, not how strong you are. Or you say, I'm a strong believer. What makes you a strong believer is that you have strong faith.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. Not your muscles, not your understanding in your head, not all the books you read, not all the stuff you've learned. Amen. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
That's that eternal plan of God. That's what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And it included you. You are no less than Elohim veiled in this nasty body. He chose to bring himself down and lock himself. Just like he locked himself in God. Just like he locked himself in Jesus. Just like he locked himself in the Holy Ghost. He locked himself into you. With all your faults, with all your failures, with all your shortcomings. You got to take baths. You get old age. You're overweight and everything else. And all your problems and things. He chose to lock himself in you and said, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one. I'm going to give you the credit to call the dead up and act like you did it. But it's Elohim dwelling in your human flesh calling the dead up. Now that's God's eternal plan. Oh my. When you realize how little God has made himself to be able to bring the dead up through you, it'll realize that you are the greatest part of the plan of God. God speaks and it happens. Just as much as he said, let there be in Genesis 1, and there was. He said, let there be a bride at the end time, and there was. He said, let them actually call the dead. It will happen. Brother Brum said, it is spoken. Now let it manifest. All we're waiting on is a manifestation. We're not waiting on anything great. We're not waiting on some new revelation. We're not waiting on some big revelation from God, some big revival. People want to hold revivals. They want to have, I got everything I need to get the dead up right now. I'm just waiting on the mind of God to say, this is the day. When he says it's time, I'm saying it's the time. Just a little bit of inspiration. Just a quickening power. Just the, let that same power that quickens your soul quicken that revelation. It's the same one. The same one that's quickened everything else. Every doctrine. Every healing. Same one. It's going to quicken that one little scripture. And it's going to bring it to pass. God in the beginning is the Word. He always was the Word. And the Word is a thought that's expressed, see? Now, in his thinking, what he had, the whole plan, knowing the end from the beginning, he has just expressed it in words. And those words are manifest. They're manifest. They're brought to pass. Just like the sun, that God's Word manifests. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And the whole time, God's plan is marching on. The whole thing the devil's trying to throw, he's trying to thwart God's plan everywhere he goes. Anything God does, Satan tries to destroy. God created a garden, Satan destroyed it. He dealt with man, made man bad. God destroyed the earth by water, brought man back. Satan made man try to get a king. See, all these things that man's doing is thwarting against the will and the mind of God. And Satan... Listen to this in Luke chapter 4. The devil talking to him, talking to Jesus. Verse 5. Up into a high place. He took Jesus to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said to him, just like he talks to you, he talked to Jesus. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, All shall be thine. That's all the devil's ever tried to do. Take the word of God and twist it. He'll tell you just as big as everything is. He's just going to twist it. If he did this to Jesus, he'll do this to you. And he did this to Jesus because he was trying to get him off of the mind of God. He was trying to railroad him off of the mind of God and the will of God. He said, and Jesus answered unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. See, Jesus went right back to the will of God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thy serve. See, the devil's always trying to throw you off. It's not just you. It's me. It's Brother Childers. It's Brother Branham. It was Jesus Christ himself. It was everybody in the Old Testament. The devil all the way back to the beginning trying to throw people off the plan of God. He don't know what the plan is, but he knows he doesn't want it. He's trying to mess it up. In the Old Testament, back there in the Garden of Eden, he didn't know what God's plan was, but he was looking around that garden. He said, I got to mess this up. I got to mess this up, Tom. He's always trying to get you off the Word of God. You need to stay on the Word of God no matter what it looks like. All power was, because the Word says all power was given unto Jesus. Do you know Jesus got all the power? And Satan was trying to sell it to him early. He's trying to sell him to him. See, that's just like us. Get you a good job. If you just would take this job and make this God and let that go, I'll give you all that you'd want. But do you realize it belongs to us anyway? Every bit of it belongs to us. But all he wants you to do is stay on his plan. Stay on his eternal plan. Don't get sidetracked on these side roads of jobs and family. Brother Brown said, we let too many things get in between us and the Holy Ghost. We get all this stuff in our lives, and we get busy, working, house, kids, families, jobs, retirements, vacations, all this stuff. We get all this stuff in between us and the plan, eternal plan of God. And all it does is throw you off the plan. And next thing you know, you're on this bumpy road saying, how did I get here? Yeah. You left God's highway to heaven and you got on the road to hell. Yeah. And haven't done anything, haven't gained a thing. There's one person that ever left this church that's ever gained one thing. They're not 1 ounce closer to heaven, but much more closer to hell than when they were here. But he's trying to throw you off of the plan of God. God's plan is for us to be here as children at the end time, to manifest who we are, to call for the dead to get up, to change our bodies. Those are the plans of God that will happen. The question is it going to happen with you? It'll only happen with you if you endure to the end. And I'm not talking about dragging around here just hitting and missing. I'm talking about getting in there. I'm talking about giving it your all. You young people, give it your all. You old people, give it your all. Everybody, give it your all. Because those are the ones that endures to the end. You wonder how you get old saints in the church? They started out young. They served God 30, 40 years. Giving it all to him. And then when you get up to that 40 year, 50 year, somewhere around there, you ain't going nowhere. That's what I told Clarice. We said about 10 years ago or so. We looked at each other and I said, Clarice, we ain't going nowhere. You know how people get divorced at 40 years or 50 years, they get divorced. It's like, yeah, we ain't going nowhere. You love me, I love you. We love God. Everything else is just side streets. Just fodder for the burning. Our real purpose is to be here in unity serving God until the body changes. He said, somebody's going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And all these other side things that you get all involved with, only what you do for Christ will last. Your job gets old. Your family gets old. You know, I've had them leave and say, well, I got to go home, and my wife threatened to leave me if if I didn't leave that church, and I'm here to protect my family, I got to save my family. You're losing your family.
Right.
And yourself. Because I watch them, and they got out, and they left the church, they're out in the world, they have no godly guidance at all. Not happy. Miserable. They look miserable. Now they try to act like they're not miserable, but they forget we're the Word, we're discerners. We look at them, and I'm like, that is so pitiful. When you had all of this wealth of heaven, and you sold all of it out for an unpaved rocky road, and you don't even know where it's going. I know where I'm going. I don't even know where they're going. But do you even have God in your house anymore? Because you can't get to, I asked one brother that left here, I asked him, I said, what are you, wife? What are you, wife? I'm nosy. You know, I'm known to be nosy. I said, what do y'all do? I mean, do y'all talk about the Word at home? He's like, nope. So do y'all even pray over your food? No. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking, you left all of this for that? To be locked into a prison cell when you and your spouse aren't even getting along now? And you got troubles at home? You barely hanging in there? I've talked to some that are about ready to leave, and I'm like, you know, you got kids. You know, they got situations. And they're not happy. And I'm thinking, why don't you just come back to church? That's the simple solution. This is where you spent the best years of your life. Under the Word of God. And you sell that out for what? To get off of the plan of God, to get on a Satan's plan. My goodness. I don't understand. I don't have answers for that. Now, Brother Brown said, Satan tried every scheme to make him discredited. Satan tried everything that he could and made him to make him discredited, to try to get him to take the kingdom without suffering, try to get him to take it without redemption. When it was God's plan in the Garden of Eden, when he killed that lamb, that the only blood would he take. Even promised him all the kingdom of the world if he would take it. Just think of what a promise. Don't you realize, my dear precious friend, at this minute, that Satan is making you a promise for, he makes you one of the best ministers in the association. He'll give you a front seat of every church and make you a deacon. He'll do anything if you'll just get away from this world. Now notice, make everything, give him the world and all the kingdom. He could take them. He was trying to get him to break the Word because he knew he had him right there if he could. He made Moses break it. He made Eve break it. But he hit the wrong guy this time. He was the Word and he didn't know it. He was the Word himself. And it's same out today. We are the Word. We are the Word made flesh. Son of Man has revealed himself to you. And now Satan's got a hard time with you. He's got a hard time convincing you, working on you, because you know what? We know the whole story. We know the whole plan. Oh, if he could pull the wool over our eyes when we're in an apostolic church. Oh, we got it. We lost it. We got it. We lost it. Oh, when you're a Catholic church, as long as you were paying that money and getting people out of purgatory, you thought you had it made. You were okay with God, but then you weren't. Then you weren't. Oh, he had you in your denomination and all walks of life, and we were up and down like this. But now, in the hour that we're living in, we are the Word. We are just as much the Word as Jesus was. Son of Man ministry on the scene. The devil should have a hard time with you. Because you know what you know. You know the plan of God. You know God's eternal plan. And you're not letting nothing deter you off of that. Let them come, let them go. I've lost church friends. I've lost family friends. I've lost friends. Let them all go. It's none of it's worth it. said in Matthew 24, and I got to close. It's 12 o'clock. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That word won't pass away because it comes from the mind of God. It is the mind of God. But you put your heart right on God's word, and heaven and earth will pass away. But that never shall pass away. That's the absolute. That's the solid foundation. That's my compass, my sail. That's my guide. That's my light. It's upon the absolute of God's word. I'm tied there eternally with Him. Amen. Others can do what they want. That's up to them. But for me, it's an absolute. I want for my absolute. Might shift and turn and so forth, but not His word. It always remains the same. He ever remains true to His word. Now make Him your absolute. Don't turn off this word for nothing. Don't take some sideline. Well, I trust God, I believe God, but I got a plan over here that's going to work for me and my family. I got a plan over here that's going to work for my life. You don't understand what I go through, and so it's because you don't understand, I need to take this route. There is only one way. It's only one way, and that's according to the Word of God. If you can't stay on the Word of God and you take these other routes, they are not going to hold you up. I'd rather stay with the eternal plan that comes from glory. And that eternal plan is running right down through time, through 1744 Superior Avenue, on its way back to glory. And I want to be right in the middle of that plan. I want to be a part of God's eternal plan and hang right there. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to You, Lord, knowing that You've the greatest plan. You have given us Your mind. You've given us Your direction, and we believe it, and we stand on it, and Lord, we'll hold right there. Father, many have let that plan, seeking out their own plan. But God, I know for a fact that You are giving us everything that we need to get all the way back to glory where we come from. And I'll stay with this. I won't venture to the left. I won't venture to the right. I won't try to use my own thinking, my own ideas, but I'll stay right with Your word. Be with the congregation and help us to stand strong. When Satan throws up something against us, Lord, raise a standard up in us. Let us use the word of God against him and never doubt You, but to use it to help stand strong so that when others look at us, they can see the God that is us standing strong regardless of whatever everyone else is doing. I want to stay with that eternal plan. I want to stand with You, Lord. I want to be one that You can find faith in as You return back to earth. And as You take this bride out of here, we're standing here with faith, believing You that every word of Your word will come to pass just as You spoke it. Let us stand and watch and pray, but let us stand ready. Thank You for everything, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Two prayer cloths for Dawn. Want one for Mike? Okay, I will. Amen. Support. God knows what we need. You know, I can see clearly why He wants us to pray. Because He knows what He's going to do. But He wants you to step forward and ask Him. And He said, ask believing. Don't ask
thinking, well, Lord, I don't know, you know, because God has changed his mind a couple of times about things and gave a man 15 extra years. So it's not in how hard or how loud you pray, but is that how loud you believe him and stand on his word, knowing that this cloth can't do nothing. But the same one who spoke the word is the same one who can deliver the house. Same one that spoke it the first time and did it the first time is the same one that'll do it every time. So let's just put our hands here together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning knowing that there are needs out there in the body. And Father, you said that they took aprons, they cut them up, and they sent those aprons out. And the faith of the people, not the apron, but the faith of the people were able to bring deliverance. Father, we stand here today because it's part of your word, and we're believers of every bit of your word. And Lord, we send these cloths out today knowing that, Lord Jesus, there's needs out there. Healing's needed. And that's an easy thing for you to do. Even when the cloth gets to the destination, even before it touches them, let the healing already move. Let us stand and be able to give a report saying that, Lord, once again you have delivered. We've seen it many times, and we ask you to just do it again one more time, Lord. We're believers of your word, and we're standing here in agreement, knowing that, Lord, you will do what you promised in your word that you would do. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's sing that as we get ready to dismiss. Don't forget to come back tonight expecting. Service is at 7. God is real. And he wants us to take hold of that eternal plan of his and believe it. And he will bring it to pass in your life. Amen. Time is filled with swift transition. Not over a move can stand. All is filled. All hopes don't think eternal. Just hope to God's unchanging hand. Why don't you hold to God's unchanging hand? God's unchanging hand. Why don't you build your hope on things eternal? Let us hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey here is completed, and when your journey is completed, and if to God you have been true, that's what tells it. Oh, then fair and bright your hope in glory.